From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. The Maine Senate has defeated a slate of Republican-backed bills that would have rolled back rights for transgender people and prevented transgender girls from competing on girls and women's sports teams. Steve Missler has more.
The bills were a legislative priority for the GOP, which had framed the sports proposals as defending women and girls. They received heightened attention after Democratic Governor Janet Mills clashed with President Donald Trump in February, touching off a retaliation campaign that led to the freezing of various federal grants. But none of those factors was enough to push the bills over the finish line when the Senate voted against each one on Monday night. Lawmakers who spoke against the proposals described them as targeting a vulnerable transgender population and rolling back their rights to use bathrooms, names, and pronouns that align with their gender identity. One of the sports-related bills did narrowly clear the Democratic-controlled House, but it was soundly defeated in the Senate on Monday, with Republican Senator Rick Bennett joining majority Democrats and voting against it. The issue of transgender athletes' participation in girls' sports will likely be decided in federal court as part of a lawsuit brought against the state by the Trump administration. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Maine House today narrowly advanced a bill limiting state and local law enforcement's ability to proactively cooperate with federal immigration officers. And as Ari Snyder reports, it drew emotional testimony.
The bill, which passed by a single vote, generally prohibits state and local law enforcement from stopping, interrogating, or detaining someone based on immigration status alone, except when officers have a court order or criminal warrant. Bill sponsor Deka DeLock, a South Portland Democrat, says nothing in the measure prohibits law enforcement from arresting someone who's committed a crime.
Instead, it provides clarity. Especially, it will ensure that Maine law enforcement can focus on their primary mission, safeguarding our communities and upholding the state laws.
The vote largely fell along party lines. Republicans pushed back strongly on the bill, saying it would tie the hands of local law enforcement. The bill now heads to the state Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Meantime, nearly 3,000 people have signed a petition asking the Cumberland County Jail to stop housing people in ICE custody. Brendan McQuaid is with the group No ICE for Me, which submitted the petition at last night's Cumberland County Commissioners meeting.
We see this as a matter of, you know, community defense to defend undocumented and immigrant Mainers against the immediate threat of deportation, but also to defend all of our freedoms from government overreach.
Sheriff Kevin Joyce did not immediately respond to a request for comment. At a previous commissioner's meeting, Joyce has said he is being squeezed from both directions. The Trump administration included Cumberland County on a now-deleted list of jurisdictions it accused of being, quote, sanctuaries for not cooperating with federal immigration authorities. Environmental groups are urging Governor Janet Mills to veto a bill that would allow landfills to accept out-of-state bulky waste through 2027. Nora Bosworth with the Conservation Law Foundation calls the bill a huge setback.
When you're talking about a landfill that, based on law and policy, is meant for wastes created in Maine, that's just very disheartening because this is a landfill that has been poisoning communities for years.
Much of the debate over the bill has centered on Juniper Ridge Landfill in Old Town, the state-owned landfill operated by Casella Waste Systems. The company has said it needs to take out-of-state waste to mix with sewage sludge to stabilize the landfill. But Bosworth says she doesn't believe that Casella needs this much waste from out-of-state, and that the landfill continues to impact nearby communities. National groups aligned with Democrats are gearing up to oppose a referendum that would require a photo ID to vote in Maine, along with a host of other election changes. Steve Missler brings us this additional report.
Three organizations responsible for electing Democratic governors, U.S. senators, and House members have all created ballot question committees to oppose the November referendum, according to campaign finance reports with the Maine Ethics Commission. While the initial reports don't yet include contributions or spending, the filings are yet another signal that the campaign will be expensive and involve interest groups with the ability to spend millions to influence voters. The Democratic Governors Association spent nearly $200 million on the 2022 election, including more than $9 million on the race for Maine governor. At least one Republican group has indicated that it too will spend big on the voter ID referendum. The Republican State Leadership Committee has already donated $500,000 to the campaign behind it. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
State lawmakers have also defeated a bill that would have imposed a temporary moratorium on certain mobile home park sales in Maine. The measure was intended to help more than 300 residents of Friendly Village Mobile Home Park in Gorham who are trying to buy their community. But the proposal failed to receive a two-thirds majority needed to be enacted immediately and died in the legislature. Lawmakers did pass other measures that will make it easier for resident cooperatives to purchase their mobile home parks, but they won't go into effect until the fall.
The laws are so responsive, will do so much good, and also there is the sting that Friendly Village is not going to be able to benefit from them.
Nora Goslin is with the Cooperative Development Institute, a nonprofit that helps mobile home residents purchase their parks. She says the Friendly Village residents are still waiting to see if their offer to purchase the park has been accepted by the current owners. A Wyoming-based investor has offered $22 million to purchase Friendly Village. It's part of a larger deal that includes seven other parks in other states. Maine Housing has awarded $13 million in state subsidies for the construction of about 130 affordable rental units in Portland and Lewiston. But the housing agency says these projects could be the last of their kind for a while because state funding that helped subsidize new affordable housing construction has dried up. Laura Mitchell with the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition says the state could lose momentum in boosting its housing supply without more funding for these programs.
There's going to be less projects getting built, for sure. So the production of homes will decrease.
Mitchell says that a restructuring of Maine's real estate transfer tax would provide some permanent funding for the state's affordable housing subsidies. That measure is part of the latest budget proposal the Democrats in the legislature have advanced. But the budget has a host of potentially controversial items and faces more debate this week in Augusta. And Maine is expected to receive $26 million under a settlement with Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin. All 50 states, the District of Columbia, and U.S. territories signed the $7.4 billion settlement yesterday. If the settlement gets court approval, Maine would receive its share over the next decade, according to a spokesperson with the state attorney general's office. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Antiques Roadshow in Maine. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.